evening and welcome to Checking In with Joetta, the show that's all about you. We are live this evening, as always, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, where I am the host, four-time Olympian, author, motivational speaker, also known as Madam Olympian. I can be reached at Joetta Olympian, or you can email us at joettaevents@yahoo.com. We have a great show in store for you this evening, and we need you to be part of the show. Remember that caller number is 646-787-1680. Again, that's 646-787-1680. You can call, text, tweet, whatever you have to do to be part of the show. Make sure you call in live. We have Wendy Hilliard, who will be on with us live, Olympic USA Rhythmic Gymnastic National Champion, Executive Director of the Wendy Hilliard Foundation. You can call in to speak with her. Remember, the caller number is 646-787-1680, and I am your host, Joetta Clark Diggs, also known as Madam Olympian. Checking in with Joetta, the show that's all about you. I'm glad to have you with me this evening, and as always, we have a great show. This show is interactive, so we need you to call in to be part of the show. We have a lot going on this evening, but as I always say, without you on the line, we have no show. So remember to call, text, tweet, email, however you communicate with your friends. Call and let them know that there's a show on Blog Talk Radio called Checking In with Joetta, and we need you to check in with us today. That caller number again is 646-787-1680. And when you call in today, remember to press the number 1. So if you do that, I know that you want to speak to our guest, Wendy Hilliard. This show will be called Being Flexible in Gymnastics and Business. Being Flexible in Gymnastics and Business. And we want you to understand that being an athlete, as you know I am, that's something that's really great. But also, it's great to be able to transcend into business and make that transition into the business world. So if you have a comment or a question, if you want to ask our guest anything about gymnastics, about business, about life, about being a mother, about being an executive director, about being the first, then you need to call in to the show, 646-787-1680. And when I come back after this break, the next voice that you will hear with me, up close and personal, will be that of Wendy Hilliard.
Web hosting, there's a lot of choices out there. How are you supposed to know who you can trust to keep your site online without breaking your budget? Well, now it's easy. A smallorange.com. We've been providing reliable, fast web hosting to our customers for years with live 24/7 tech support, so you won't be left out on your own. A smallorange.com. Silly name. Reliable hosting. Visit a smallorange.com and get your site online today.
Welcome back to Checking In with Joetta, the show that's all about you, and I'm not going to hold you up any longer. I want to bring in our guest. So the next voice you hear with mine will be that of Wendy Hilliard. Welcome to the show, Wendy. How are you?
Oh, thank you, Joetta. I'm doing great. And you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy and hectic schedule to be on these airways with myself and all the guests that want to hear what you have to say.
Oh, well, I'm really excited. Thank you for inviting me. Anything for you, Madam Olympian.
We go back a long ways, but the most important thing is that we are together in the future of sports, the future of the lives, and the future of kids. You have all of that at your fingertips because you have a wonderful foundation called the Wendy Hilliard Foundation, and we're going to get into all of that. But as a guest on my show, we have what we call Clark's Questions. And what I like to do is ask you a question, and you give me an answer. And usually we try and do it within one or two words. And this way our audience will have an opportunity to know a little bit about you as opposed to me asking you the mundane questions and going back and forth. So if you're ready for Clark's questions, I'm going to ask you the first word, which will be children.
Love them. I do.
Good
I have
choice.
Two boys, but I love kids, yes.
Okay, you have two boys and you love kids, and we will go into more details because that's your foundation, the Wendy Hilliard Foundation. You not only train girls, but you train boys as well. So we will talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Detroit, Michigan.
My hometown, my heart.
New York University.
My alma mater. I'm very proud. The Violets. Go Violets.
Okay.
I can answer more. Didn't you want one or two words?
No, you're doing great. You got
okay.
it. You're doing yes. The Women's Sports Foundation.
A powerful organization.
How about the U.S. Gymnastics Hall of Fame?
Honored. I am very honored to be part of that group.
And you were inducted in 2008, am I correct?
That's right.
Okay.
Yes,
we're going to talk about the language Russian. Does that mean anything to you?
Очень приятно, meaning very good. Speaking Russian reminds me of my coach.
And are you fluent in Russian, or do you just know a little bit here and there?
Now a little bit here and there. When I was training, when I was an athlete, because my coach really had just come from Russia, we use it a lot more. And then when I used to train in Eastern Bloc countries, the former Eastern Bloc countries like Bulgaria, so I used it a lot when I was training. And when I moved to New York, I used to coach out in Brighton Beach, Brooklyn, which is a big enclave of Russian people, and I used it there. But I haven't used it as much in the last 10 or so years, so I lost kind of my touch. But in a gymnastic setting and listening to it in a group, I do pretty well.
Well, I was quite impressed with what you just said. So if that's any indication of what you can do in the language, I'm sure you're very modest and you can do a lot better than you're leading us to believe. 10-year national citizen.
A lot of training, but it was also a lot of traveling around the world. So it was the crest of my – it was just my life. It was 10 years of really being an elite athlete, and it was irreplaceable. My biggest education,
can we talk about
think.
The being a spokesperson for the gymnastics, rhythm gymnastics? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We will talk about being a laser.
Okay.
Being a trailblazer.
Yeah, that means hard work. It's hard work. Yeah.
And then the last one I'm going to ask you will be the first African-American to compete on the U.S. national team. So what would that be? What does that mean to you?
Wow. That's a good question how you put it, because I was – you know, when you're in the mix of just trying for something, you just work very hard, and then you find out that you're the first. But it was kind of defining so much of the rest of my work, because to break the barrier and to go through what I had to go through, I think, led me to my future work as an advocate for rights to compete or to participate in sports. So it was a defining moment for my career.
And I think, Wendy, when you say that, you're being very modest again, basically it's you, you know, being the first African-American, and we always seem to put attention on being the first of something. But when you are the first of something, people look up to you, and you have to represent not only yourself but your family and your country and those who support you in fine fashion. And I'm sure you did just that, and you've been able to parlay that into a successful foundation. So we'll talk about that as well. Everyone, we are live in studio today with Wendy Hilliard, 646-787-1680 is the calling number, and we just got finished with Croft's questions, and she did just a fine job. I'm going to take a commercial break, but in the meantime, if you can visit her website, which is whfny.org, to find out a little bit more about Wendy, and when we come back, we'll be able to continue the conversation. So hold on, and remember, you can also tweet at Joetta Olympian, and you can email us at joettaevents@yahoo.com.
There's a lot of choices out there. How are you supposed to know who you can trust to keep your site online without breaking your budget? Well, now it's easy. A smallorange.com. We've been providing reliable, fast web hosting to our customers for years with live 24/7 tech support, so you won't be left out on your own. A smallorange.com. Silly name. Reliable hosting. Visit a smallorange.com and get your site online today.
So advanced, it doesn't just remove bald plaque, it even eliminates doubt. The Oral-B Smart Series is the world's first electric toothbrush with Bluetooth connectivity. It gives you real-time feedback as you brush, alerts your blood, and even allows your dentist to program your routine. It's so intelligent, it actually communicates while it cleans. Wonder if you're getting a superior clean? You'll know. The Oral-B Smart Series.
Welcome back to Check It In with Joetta, the show that's all about you. We're live today with Wendy Hilliard, and I'm excited to have her on the line. We have a lot to talk about, and these lines are lit, so continue to hold on for just a second as we kind of take a trip back down memory lane. And when we go down that memory lane, I'm going to ask her, how, Wendy, did you start in gymnastics, in rhythmic gymnastics, something that many people did not really know about? So how did you get started in that field?
Well, I was a gymnast, an artistic gymnast, the more familiar kind, in Detroit. And what happened is the Detroit Recreation Department hired these four coaches from the former Soviet Union to work in the Recreation Department. And I started taking gymnastics there because I just was introduced to this coach, Zina Marinoff, who was a specialist in rhythmic gymnastics. I hadn't really seen the sport before because it was very new to the United States. And about the next year, it then became an Olympic sport, so more people knew about it. But it was really, in one way, by chance. I was taking gymnastics. Her husband was an artistic coach, and they worked together with two other coaches. And we argued. Zina has passed away. Rest in peace. You know, she was a very strong coach. But when I first started, she said that I begged her to teach me rhythmic gymnastics, and I said, no, you recruited me because I didn't know what rhythmic was. But it was kind of a chance encounter to start rhythmic, but once we did, Zina was a master sport coach, and she just used all that good Soviet training, and we worked really hard.
Now, when you say the difference between rhythmic and traditional, can you kind of explain to the audience the different apparatuses that you use in rhythmic gymnastics and how it differs from what we see, with like Gabby Douglas and those girls that they do?
Certainly, yes. So traditional gymnastics are what people are most familiar with. We call it artistic, it's a technological term. You work on apparatus, so you work on the balance beam, you work on the bars, you vault over the horse. And so gymnastics from its core is body movement with equipment. And so the artistic or traditional gymnastics, you work on equipment. In rhythmic gymnastics, you work with equipment. So in rhythmic gymnastics, we use hand apparatus like a ball or a long ribbon, a jump rope. And so the key in rhythmic gymnastics is to work together with the apparatus and to music. So it's rhythmic because the timing of being able to toss it up in the air 30 feet, catch it, do a couple rolls under it, and all these timing, the hand-eye coordination, and then to do it all to music is really what composes it as a sport. And just a little bit of history, back in the 1950s and before, all of the traditional gymnasts, they used to have to do, let's say, like a bar routine and a beam routine, and then they have to do a rhythmic routine, a group routine. So rhythmic gymnastics used to be part of everything, and then it broke off and became its own sport, and it's been an Olympic sport since 1984.
when I look at rhythmic gymnasts, they look so beautiful and they're throwing up the different apparatuses. Can you share with the audience what they're using? We see the ribbon, and I think that is what your specialty was. Am I correct with that?
It definitely was one of my better events with ribbon. So the key is that there are actually five events altogether. They're Indian clubs. They're two pieces of kind of plastic wood, and they look kind of like bowling pins, but you kind of manipulate them, and then you have the jump rope and the hula hoop, and you have the ball, like I said, and the ribbon. So you usually compete with four. So the key is that every gymnast has to be that versatile, just like in gymnastics, you have four different events. In rhythmic, you compete in four different events. And each one has its own type of challenges. But you have to, when you work with them, you demonstrate different kind of physicalities, like you jump a lot with the rope, you have to use a lot of speed. In the hoop, it requires a lot of great timing because the hoop goes very big in the air. And all of it, I mean, the base of it, we do a lot of training with flexibility. We do a lot of training with dance. And the key to our sport is it's extremely hard, but we try to make it look easy. But it's really hard to do that. So the key is it's very interesting because dancers, which people always think, you know, it's rhythmic dancing, it's not. Dancers, it's difficult for them to work with apparatus because they tend to look in the mirror, they look at the audience, and gymnastics is different. So even though we use it for our body training, it's much different than dance, and I was a former gymnast. All the gymnasts started with me. You know, I can flip too. Before I started doing rhythmic gymnastics, I was doing back handsprings and the bars and the beam. So I still turn that stuff out. But working with the apparatus is just different kind of training, and it requires a lot of hours. It's, you know, I used to practice about 4 or 6 hours every day.
And that is something that is so important. And we would talk about how you were able to use sports as a way to parlay into your successful foundation. But I must go to these phone lines right now. So, as you know, callers, when I call the last four digits of your number, that means I'm speaking with you, and we will be able to hear you loud and clear. So we're going to go to the phone lines, and the first number we'll go to is 1783. Welcome to Checking In with Joetta, the show that's all about you. Do you have a comment or question for Wendy?
I have a question, first a comment. I just want to congratulate you on all your successes and being a pioneer. My question ties into that. I wanted to know, what do you think is the barrier to more African-American women, females, getting involved in your type of gymnastics and any type of gymnastics, and why haven't we become more dominant or more involved in the sport? Is it a cost issue? Is it an exposure issue? What do you think it is?
Wow, well, thank you. That's a very good question, and thank you very much for your comments. That's interesting because in the world of gymnastics now, in one way, on the top level of gymnastics, the last three women in the world in traditional artistic gymnastics have been black. So
right.
Gabby Douglas won the Olympics in 2012, and the last two world championships was won by an American woman, Simone Biles.
Right.
But this is the question, like, except for those that have made it to the top, and, you know, Gabby, Story, and Simone, they're just so exceptional. They're are a lot of top gymnasts, but they're not a lot of gymnast training, and this is part of the reason why, and this is really the reason why I started my gymnastics foundation, is because first, gymnastics, you have to start when you're young, and so the family dedication is extremely important because most gymnasts start very young, so someone has to take them to the gym all the time. It's not the kind of sport that you can get at your school. You can't be on the basketball team or something. It really takes a lot of effort to get to the gym and to get back, so there's that barrier, and oftentimes it's not in urban places because it's the gymnastics is the gymnastics equipment's specific, the coaches are expensive, so there's not a lot in urban settings. Mm-hmm. The next thing is that it really can be very expensive. There's just no doubt about it because to go to competitions, you get in the car, it's all weekend, you have to pay your coaches, the gymnastics training. It's not subsidized by any, you know, schools or things like that. The gymnastics gymnastics gyms are basically supported by parents' fees. That's
mm-hmm.
how the traditional gymnastics school is. And so it's more of a lack of exposure because I would say this. I work with a lot of kids. My gymnastics foundation, I just came back. We finished at 9 o'clock. I have 50 kids on my team. And the reason why it works is that we're in Harlem. I have a partnership with Harlem Children's Zone. And so the kids, you know, it's close for them. They don't have to ride an hour or 30 minutes or, you know, they can come after school. So half of my team walks to the practice after school. And so that's really what I wanted to do is I wanted to bring gymnastics because I learned in a recreation department. You know, it wasn't expensive for me to take gymnastics, but I had really great coaching. So this is the key. I think that people have to realize the type of dedication. And it's not just it's not gymnastics. It's sports like swimming and diving and figure skating, things like that that require you to start when you're young so you can get the technical ability. But I would say this. We've got some really great black gymnasts from the top, great African-American athletes, women and men, but we don't have a lot in the gyms across America. Because Gabby will probably, if you read her book or you talk to her, I had a long talk with her mother, she was often the only black gymnast in the gym. You know, she was Iowa. She was by herself. And that's hard. I've been through that. So I would say this, that it's exposure. And I want to tell parents that, you know, it's worth the investment, I would say that much, in your children. Gymnastics, and Joetta can tell you, any sport that you, when you teach young people to learn a sport, they learn how to be healthy, and they'll have these gifts for their whole lives. So thank you for that.
And thank you for what you're doing for those kids. And I'm sure one day we're going to see one of those kids in Harlem on a podium somewhere.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you, Carla, for that question. And Wendy, we will talk about the success that you've had in your studio with some of your more elite and traveled athletes. But you mentioned the grassroots is so very important, and the kids are very fortunate and blessed to have you as the executive director, and you can be a galvanizing force for them and a supporter of them to help them not only exceed athletically but also academically. So we're going to go to the phone calls. With that being said, the caller 1783. I'm sorry, let's go to caller 2680. Caller 2680. Welcome to Checking In with Joetta, the show. That's all about you. You're live this evening with Wendy. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. I was a gymnast also, so I do understand and respect the hard work that goes into it. My name is Beryl. And Wendy, you said you were an advocate for the right for people or African Americans to compete. And my question is similar to the last caller. As an advocate, I believe that's because it's really difficult for African American and other non-traditional Americans to compete in the sport. You said it's difficult because of the money and the access. Is that, you know, the major reason why it's difficult for African Americans and other non-traditional groups to compete?
I would say hi, Beryl, and for my fellow gymnasts, nice to thank you for your question. It is a barrier. We'll put it this way. So when I, as an advocate, and I learned so much with the Women's Sports Foundation, but also as an athlete myself, and now as I, you know, work with sports and I work with youth, it's been a trend. There's been a change overall where a lot of the sports were taken out of a school setting or recreation departments. A lot of the youth sports, unfortunately, has gone to kind of you pay for this thing here, you pay there. So that automatically is going to have less access, and it makes it tougher to get to. But also, when we look overall, it is having the ability to try different sports. And this is the key. I mean, they're really great athletes in a lot of different sports. You have basketball, or you have track, you have things like that. But then also you might find athletes to be great in fencing or archery or something like that. Usually a lot of minorities don't get exposure to as many non-traditional sports, and that has to do a lot with cost. But then also it's where you put your, as we're finding, because Joetta could definitely, you know, if you're really good in sports, it tends to go, if you're dedicated to go other things, you'll become a good student, you'll do well in business. We have all these studies that show that. But oftentimes there are other things that take over. If you have other family responsibilities, sometimes families put more stress on their boys and their girls to do sports. Like they'll say, you know, the girl in the family, you have to watch your little brother and sister or something, other things like that. And also, you know, and I'm going to go there, people have to, you know, if you're going to do sports, you're going to sweat and your hair is going to not look good all the time. So you just got to deal with it.
Problem also.
You know, no, seriously, people have to realize that. I get with that with my girls, and it's something that, you know, they go over that hump, and once they see how strong they are, they work with it. But, you know, there's a lot of pressures out there with, you know, videos and things like that. But I would say, it's economic and exposure is our biggest barrier.
Thank you very much. That really does clarify why you're needed as an advocate. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And, Carla, before you go, I think it's important, too, you mentioned that you were a fellow gymnast. Did you do rhythmic or did you do, as I've learned to call it, traditional gymnastics?
Yes, I did traditional or
artistic.
Artistic, yes, gymnastics. Mm-hmm. I did the Florex and the vault, and I really appreciate and can respect what goes into it and how it carries over to business and attitude and work ethic. And I train athletes now, and I think that's one of the most important things because it's all about being well-rounded and being able to take that to your life and to your family.
Mm-hmm. That's
true. Well, thank you, Carla, for in or checking in with Joetta and having a little powwow with your fellow gymnasts. There's nothing like having someone understanding the path that you went down as well.
Thank you, Ms. Joetta.
The next call will be caller 1054. Caller 1054. Welcome to Checking In with Joetta, the show that's all about you. Do you have a comment or question for Wendy Hillier?
My question is, were there ever times that you doubted yourself, and how did you overcome it?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. Yes, there were times. How I overcame it was really through hard work. In a sport like gymnastics, you get judged all the time, and it's a judge sport, and it's going to happen like things in life. Sometimes you get the scores you think you should get, and sometimes you don't, and it's just always something. So you have to really work on yourself, and how I get through it was to be really well-trained. There's nothing else they can't take. If you can do your elements and you just work your hardest, and you've known you've given it your best. So the scores are one thing. But if you know your performance is the best you can do and the only way you can do a great performance is to study hard or to work hard or to train hard, which I did, that helps you overcome those times when you maybe second-guess yourself. That's what I would do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Carla, I don't know how old you are, Carla, but thank you for staying up and asking a question. And I will always chime in and say that you can doubt anyone else that you want to doubt, but you can never doubt yourself. And there's no shortcut for being successful and to training hard. And I think, Wendy, you might see this in your gym as well. A lot of the younger kids want to take shortcuts and not put in the work and the due diligence and make the sacrifices that one has to make in order to be at the top of their game. And, you know, and we're going to talk about this as well. Everyone's not going to make a national team, make the Olympic team, but they can do the best that they can be and do their very best. And when you have coaches and family and corporations that are supporting you, it's like you need to do it not only for them but for you. And as an Olympian, I realize that I can't make these practices and run around the track as many times as I did for someone else. I had to have a passion and a love for the sport and for what I was doing. And I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that Wendy does have a passion and love for the work that she's doing, and she's getting a lot of attention from different companies, different corporations. And Wendy, congratulations on your most recent accomplishment, which is being on the calendar for the Aetna company, insurance company. They selected you to be in their calendar called Champions for Change, and you are gracing very beautifully, if I must say, the month of February.
Well, thank you very much from my fellow honorable honoree in that African American history calendar with Joanna Clark. That was one of my greatest surprises, actually, when I found out that you were part of it, because you just mentioned it. You mentioned the passion. I think to the young caller who called, you were very right. You really can't doubt yourself. And even if, like you said, other people are, you have to believe in yourself. And if you have that passion, I tell parents when you're training young kids, if they have a passion for it, they will appreciate the hard work. They will do the work it takes to get to where you have to go. And I really appreciate it, because I know you've put in the work, and it's so nice that you've invited me to share my story. But I will say congratulations to you as well.
Thank you, and what I must do, I'm going to play that piece, and remember, you can visit her website at whfny.org, or just Google her name, Wendy Hilliard, to find out more about what she's doing and how you can make donations to the organization as well. But take a listen to this piece that is also on YouTube, and it's a very short piece, but it's very important, very impactful, and I'm going to play it for you now.
My name is Wendy Hilliard, and the name of the organization is the Wendy Hilliard Gymnastics Foundation. We provide low and free cost gymnastics for urban youth. I started the foundation really after I sent my gymnast, Alianne Backrow, now Backrow Wilson, to the Olympics. And I found out that I could really only coach 10 or 15 gymnasts on a high level. So I thought, why not use my sport to give back to kids in the community? Because I just know, you know, gymnastics can be very expensive. There's just no doubt about that. And unless I use my resources to give the opportunity, because I know all kids want to live, and you want to give them that chance. And so that's really inspired me. I just said, I've done the highest level. Now I really want to build the grassroots. Sports can make a profound difference in everyone's life. I've seen it with all of the kids that I've trained over the years. For one, it gives you discipline, it gives you purpose, and there's a joy to doing something that you love to do and being pushed to be the best you can be. But it also taught me that if you have these skills and you really feel it and you're trained, it can move on to other things in your life, and I definitely use sports for that for my own life. I feel very gratified that I'm changing other lives. The impact that we have on all the children, whether they're beginning gymnasts or whether they're elite gymnasts, it's so far-reaching that it gets me up every day. And so the impact is there really through joy.
Well, thank you for listening, audience. That is a very great video, and the sound doesn't do the video justice. So take a peek at it. Go to her website, whfny.org, or just put her name in YouTube and look for the Aetna video, and you will see not only her video, but the other champions that were in the calendar as well. Wendy, I'm going to ask you something, and this question, it's a question that as an athlete, I ran, so it wasn't, we didn't need any special things, just a track and some sneakers, and basically that was it. How do you identify if your child has talent, if your child, should be a gymnast, a gymnastic, if they should go into rhythmic, or should they stay in artistic? How do you identify if your child should be in that sport?
That's a great question. Well, you know, I would tell parents you should try as many youth sports as you can. I think it's really important that kids learn how to swim. I think that's twofold, whether they'll become a swimmer or not. But trying different sports and you expose it, or, you know, your child's in school, most likely, you know, your child will come up and say, I want to do gymnastics. There's that. I get that a lot from a lot of parents. You know, my child says, I want to take gymnastics. And then after they're in a program, to be honest with you, the coach or the teacher will be the best person to tell you, you know, what they think your child's better for. In one way, there does have to be a passion, and I keep telling parents because, you know, the sport takes a lot of work, and the gymnast has to put in the time. So since they have to put in the time, they have to like it a lot and want to be there no matter what. When they're not feeling good, they still have to be there. So I always tell parents that, you know, your child has to really want to do it. And then you'll see which one they'll do, this kind of which one they'll do better at, which one they like practicing more. That's really the key, because parents ask me, you know, their child might be 6 or 7, you know, will my child be a great athlete? I'm like, I don't know. You know, it's a process. It takes years, and then you never know what things will come up or how kids grow or will they lose interest. So it's definitely a step-by-step process. But here's the main things I would say is that it's got to be driven by your child. You have to listen to the coaches and instructors, and they most likely will come to you and say, we think your child is talented, or we think they should do this, because this is what their job is. And then after that, you just want to support as much as you can, to your best ability, what they, you know, what their passion is, and they have to be passionate about it.
And that's something that is so important, to have a passion. And the greatest question is, how will my, you know, will my child make the Olympic team? Will they make it a national team? Well, the first thing they have to do is be committed to being a gymnast, and they need the support of the parents. So it's more to it than just dropping them off at your great facility. They have to put the time in as well as parents, and learn about the sport for the sake of the child. And the other question that we had here, and I have an email question, is, and I was going to ask this as well, but they want to know is, I have a son. How would I get them started in gymnastics? Because most of his friends are playing baseball.
I think they have to look for the program. Most, you know, men's gymnastics may not be as popular in the U.S. as women's, but there are a lot of really great male gymnasts. And here's the thing. Go to the programs. Most of them have. There might be not as many boys there as there may be more girls, but it's okay, because gymnastics is such a good foundational sport that even if they don't stay in gymnastics, the skills they get, the fact that they'll be flexible, they'll be so strong. You've seen male gymnasts. They're like one of the strongest athletes there are, that they'll be able to turn that into other sports. I mean, my favorite sports story is Derek Atkins, who is Olympic champion in hurdles. And he said, Wendy, I was a gymnast before I was a hurdler, but I grew so tall, because it's hard to do gymnastics when you're very tall. But he said that gymnastics background helped me in my sport, you know. And so I've heard that from a lot of athletes, and that is one thing people do have to understand, I think, too, is that sometimes you will change sports when you're young. You just have to be dedicated. But if you're a male, and my son, I have two sons. My youngest son is a very good gymnast. He practices 3 days a week, and he's really dedicated to it. It's a great foundational sport. So you just have to call around and just say, do you take boys gymnastics? And it's a great thing for boys to learn.
And before I go to the commercial break, Wendy, I must tell you this as well. I, too, was a gymnast and a dancer. So my strong suit was tumbling, and I was a pretty solid tumbler. I did the floor, and I was very flexible, and I think that helped me to stay injury-free throughout my 25 years of being an elite athlete, with having the flexibility that I learned from dance and from being a gymnast. And I still pride myself when I go to my school programs that I can get their attention by doing a simple round off or walk over or a split. My days have long gone for me doing back handsprings and things like that. But when you can relate to the kids and they see you do it, it automatically makes a connection. So I, too, now you have another Olympian that used gymnastics and ballet as a way to springboard them into another career. But to be flexible, it was definitely important for me to stay injury-free.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know that story.
Well, call us at call the numbers. 787-1680-646-787-1680. That is the caller number, and we'll take more calls after this. The Matthew J. Moynihan Health Assessment Center for Athletes provides education, evaluation, and assessments of sports. Barnabas Health serves and cares for more pediatric patients than any other healthcare organization in New Jersey. Please visit the Matthew J. Moynihan Health Assessment Center and call 973 322 7913 to find out more about concussion and cardiac screenings. Again, that's the Matthew J. Moynihan Health Assessment Center, 973-322-7913 at barnabashealth.org/Moynihan, Moorahan. Welcome back to Checking In with Joanna, the show that's all about you. Thank you, callers, for being part of this show this evening. And we're on with Wendy Hilliard. She has been a long-time major force in women's sports. She was the first African-American to represent the United States and remained on the Rhythmic Gymnastics National Team, a record-setting 9 times, serving twice as the national team's captain. In 2008, Wendy was inducted into the USA Gymnastics Hall of Fame. She was a 4-time national coach. She was the first African-American in gymnast to become the president of the Women's Sports Foundation. Today, Wendy owns her very own nonprofit organization called the Wendy Hilliard Foundation, and it provides free gymnastics for over 10,000 inner-city youth in New York City since 1996. So we're going to transition to ask you a question. Why did you decide to open up a foundation, and why did you decide to put the foundation in Harlem?
Wow. Well, I started the foundation because it was two things. So I just finished my tenure of president of the Women's Sports Foundation, so I really learned a lot about nonprofits and serving athletes. But also, as I mentioned, I had been a coach, so my was just going off to the Olympics, Allianz, and, you know, when you're coaching high level in gymnastics, you have to spend as much time as a gymnast does in the gym. And so it was very intense, but I could really only coach 10 or 15 gymnasts. And by this time, it's, I don't know, 10 or so years, 10 or 15 years after I made the national team, and there weren't many blacks on the national team anymore. I mean, weren't any blacks at that time. So I really thought it was time to bring it back to the community and to have kind of a similar experience as I did when I was young. And so Harlem was, you know, I really started in the Upper West Side and moved up to Harlem because that's where the opportunities came for me to have space in Manhattan. But also it drove me because this was our community and we had a need. There was no gymnastics. There's not much gymnastics in Manhattan anyway, but there really wasn't any in Harlem. And so there was a big need, and there are a lot of kids that wanted to get exposure to gymnastics, so that's why I based it in Harlem.
Well, that is a great, great segue, because it doesn't matter, I say, where you put – well, people always say location, 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 and there is something to that. But when you have a good product, if you have a reputable person running the organization, they will come to you, as will sponsors. So in your case, you do have a nice location. I've been there before, and I don't know how large your facility is. Can you tell our audience how large your facility is?
Well, we work in a couple of venues. So we have at Riverbank State Park, I think that venue is probably about 5,000 square feet, where we do our community program. Where we are in the Armory, the Harlem Armory, the partnership we have with the Harlem Children's Zone, the facility we have there is more like 10,000 square feet. And we have, it's very high ceilings, which is really exciting for gymnasts because we have trampoline going on and rhythmic gymnastics needs high ceilings. So the Armories in New York are just, the whole venue is about 50,000 square feet, but we share it with the tennis program, including Harlem Children's Zone and the New York Junior Tennis League. So there's a lot of sports there. So it's a really beautiful facility where it's expansive and kids can just, you know, do gymnastics to their heart's delight.
And that is so important. Nowadays, our kids are not being as active. And when I went to your facility, it's outstanding, it's invigorating, and you're doing a fantastic job with the kids. And, you know, we always say that it's, you know, sometimes we think that it's us, you know, the athlete or the owner that's doing everything. But the reality is you have great partnerships, and I think that you mentioned some of the partnerships that you have, and you're always looking for more, I'm sure. So if you won't be bashful, could you tell people how to make donations and to get involved with what you're doing to make sure that the Wendy Hilliard Foundation stays a force in Harlem and throughout New York and the world.
Oh, well, that's great. Now, I won't be bashful because I have bills to pay and coaches to pay. No, the thing is that really, like, as you mentioned, on our website, you can definitely donate it. Donate through there, whsny.org. As you said, Google, you can send donations. Our office address is on the website, but it's we're at 550 West 155th Street in Harlem, 10032, or, you know, call our office where you can donate online. And when you do that, I mean, people really have to understand that it goes to the kids. The key with me is that I have really great coaches. I have so many kids that we serve, you know, every week we're serving over 500 kids, and the really key is having great coaches, and that's what makes a difference. The thing about gymnastics, which is great, is it takes a lot of time, but it's an individual sport. There's a lot of one-on-one energy, and I tell people, you know, my team kids, they train 9 hours a week, and they get a lot. We, you know, we work them hard, and this is what you want to do. And we want them to be their best, and that takes effort, and it takes time, and it takes money and support. And I do want to mention in New York on the 21st and 22nd, we're hosting the Harlem Gymnastics Invitational at the Harlem Armory. And it's a great event. It's free to the community. So anyone who's up in New York and wants to see gymnastics, we're going to have 700 athletes in all different types of gymnastics, rhythmic and traditional and artistic and tumbling and trampoline. And it's an opportunity to see gymnastics live. So when you support the foundation, you do things like that, not only to support the actual training of the gymnasts and the classes, but also the community so that they can experience and get the joy from seeing great gymnastics.
Well, I hope everyone listened to that. And again, the website is whsny.org. And organizations like Wendy's need to have your support. And it's important for you to realize that our kids have to be exposed to many different things. And it's not about going to the Olympics and being a world champion. It is about, however, traveling, learning foreign language, meeting other people, having fun, and realizing that, you know, your best may not be someone else's best, but as long as you're doing the very best that you can, putting the hard work in, you will be successful and you will benefit from the efforts that you're doing. So thank you for sharing that with us. We're going to go back to these phone lines. Caller 5927, caller 5927. Welcome to Check It In with Joetta, the show that's all about you. Do you have a comment or question this evening?
Yes. Hi, Joetta. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. I'm Attila. My question is, when you have a child that's in gymnastics, how do you know when to pull them out of school for gymnastics? And related to that question is, what opportunities are there in college for gymnastics, and should you pull your child out before college?
Wow. Well, thank you for your call and those questions. And that's pretty – those are some hard questions. I would say this much, that when you say pull out, do you mean to be homeschooled for training?
Yes, that is one option,
homeschooled. All of these discussions really have to be between the coach and yourself and your child. I mean, different aspects. Does a child's school support them in having a different type of schedule, because there's no doubt that they'll need to do a lot of gymnastics? In either homeschool or different situation, it is a case-by-case, you know, study. It really is. And oftentimes people do it because the amount of time you have to concentrate in gymnastics. But oftentimes some people don't, you know, take that route. I know my gymnast, I trained the gymnast Alexis Page, so she started in my program when she was 7, and she made the national team, and by the time she was in high school, you know, she was training 25-30 hours a week, and it was 2 hours away in Brooklyn. So, but she still stayed in school, and it was a struggle. But there's a point to that. I would say this. Don't pull them out too fast. I think that it's very important that you have to juggle school
and sports. I think Joette is the biggest example of this, but I do believe in Olympism. There's a triad. You have to be good at all of this, and I think there's a lot of good thing that comes from that. But then you have to see, you know, how elite your child is, how much, you know, they're traveling or things like that. But that is a case-by-case study, and just look at all aspects. I said, besides Joette, I always look to Sarah Hughes, who's Olympic champion, and she, figure skating is a similar sport where a lot of people travel and they have to do homeschool, and she stayed in school, so it's a choice. And then you said about college.
Yes.
Well, there are opportunities definitely for college scholarships in gymnastics. It's very competitive. The college, the women's college scholarship program, I mean, some people, you know, are very elite. They go to Olympics, and then they still decide to go to the NCAA instead of becoming pro. So I would say this, is that it takes a lot, as much dedication. It's a very high level, very competitive sport on the NCAA level or the collegiate level. There are some opportunities, but let me tell you, this is very important. School is also very important. To be honest with you, you have to understand that the reality of it is that you're more likely, if you study really hard, to get a school scholarship on academics than in sports, because I don't want to say something and then someone gets injured or something happens and they don't like sports as much. So I would say school is extremely important, and stay connected with your coach as you look for your gymnastics preparation. Does that help?
Thank you, caller, for that question.
Yes, thank you.
Very good question. You know, when you never know who's listening to the show, and you've had gymnasts, you've had parents, you've had little kids, and they've all asked very fine questions. And that's what it's all about, being able to inform people of what to say, and hopefully that when it's all said and done, they come away with a wealth of knowledge that they can share, you know, with their families. We're going to go to another caller. Remember when I said the last 4 digits of your number, that means I'm speaking with you. So caller 1929. Caller 1929. Welcome to Checking In with Joette, the show that's all about you. You're live with Winnie Hilliard.
Hi, I'm very honored to be speaking with you both. Hi, Joette. My name is Kimberly Mitchell-Jones. I am calling. I have a question. At what age would you start a young kid with getting started in gymnastics? I have a young daughter and just wanted to know, is her age just too early, or what would you suggest?
It varies, according to how Kimberly, by the way. It really varies.
Hi.
Sometimes you have preschool gymnastics, so you can start gymnastics at age 3 or 4, kind of for fun, to learn to be in a class setting. More kids, I think, more between the ages of 7, 9, 10, between 7 and 9. Joette made a good point that the key in gymnastics is having flexibility, and it's much easier to develop flexibility when you're young, and strength. So the younger you start, a lot of those skills that you'll need are developed at a younger age. So anywhere I would say between 6, 7, and 10 years old. But don't, if they're older and they want to do gymnastics, they should still go for it as well, to be honest, and really get on the time till I was in high school. So.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I can't let her go off the phone that easy. As I said, you never know who's listening to the show. I know from her days of being a very fine athlete at the University of Florida, that was where she graduated, and to hear that she has kids now and married and she has a child in gymnastics, I guess they're not following your footsteps, but you have them involved in sports because you know the importance of that. So thank you for calling in to the show and speaking with me briefly, but more importantly, you have a child in gymnastics, and you have one of the best in the area, and you were able to call in and ask her a question, so that's important.
Yes, thank you very much, Joette.
You're welcome. You be well. And Wendy, I'm going to take another caller, caller 4110, caller 4110. Welcome to Checking In with Joette, the show that's all about you. You're live with Wendy Hilliard. And we have about 4 minutes left in the show. And what is your comment or question this evening?
Thank you for taking my call. My question is about your days as a competitor. So what was your routine before a competition, and was there one specific thing that you had to do before you competed?
Wow. Well, thank you for the question, Megan. I think about that one. What was my routine before? You know, I'm pretty sure that I had kind of a routine that I did all the time, but really it was just the warm-up routine. We started using actually some visualization. It was kind of new at the time, and the whole national team got this really great, we were part of a study, and we did it pretty intensely. So we did this thing called visualization, where basically you just have to, in your mind, practice doing your routine correctly. And you'd be surprised how difficult that can be sometimes. But I would say that we would visualize, and I was pretty, you know, I had to keep a certain diet, but really we had a specific type of warm-up routine, and you warm up the same way every time, so before you got to competition. But the visualization would help me relax a little bit, because nerves always was part of competing.
Oh, one other question. I know the IOC is taking out events and putting events in for the Olympics. Has rhythmic gymnastics ever been targeted that you know of?
You know, it's been mentioned. So I worked on the Olympic big. New York was going for the Olympics in 2012, so I was the head of sports for the Olympic and Paralympic Games. And it was mentioned to a certain extent, but not really, because to be honest with you, even though Americans aren't as familiar with rhythmic gymnastics, it's hugely popular in Europe and Asia. So it's interesting. Rhythmic gymnastics is usually one of the first sports that sells out at Olympic Games. So even though we don't see it as much in America, but then the other thing is that it's also a female-only sport. So the Olympics finally has gotten to a point where they have the same amount of sports for women as they do for men, and that was hard fought. You know, they had to do that with events and different sports. So things that are female only actually have more of a possibility of staying in the Olympic Games. So I don't think it's been challenged that much, no.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Paula, for that question. And Wendy, hopefully that it will not go, because you are developing some of the future world champions, Olympic champions, right there at the Whitney Hilliard Foundation. Remember, audience, I say you can visit her website at whfny.org. And we have about a minute and a half left, Wendy. I must ask a quick question before this show is over. What is the impact that you think your foundation is having on the community?
Wow, it's profound. I will say that. We've been here for a long time. Some of my gymnasts that I trained or took classes with me are now either teaching for me, a few of them, and they're bringing their kids. That's how long I've been around. So we've really established ourselves as a really high-quality program and a place where you can experience great gymnastics in Harlem, and we hope to expand that beyond that, but that's been the impact. And besides just getting great gymnastics, we are big focus on health and nutrition and just using sport to lead a healthy lifestyle and to have these kids be the ones that are leading us back to health as we move forward.
And that is so important. We always say you can't look back, you can't move forward looking back, but I think that if you look back, you can look back at what you accomplished as a gymnast and how you have transitioned very well into the business world, and that's so very important. Wendy Hilliard, thank you for being part of Checking In with Joetta, the show that's all about you. Remember, visit our website at whfny.org to find out how you can be involved. She has a lot of activities going on there and how you can go out and be part of what she's doing. And I always say that in life, you never know who you're going to meet and what road you're going to take when you meet. I've been really blessed to have met you, but more importantly, I enjoy seeing the great things that you're doing and continued success. Thank you for joining the show, and Wendy, have a successful year and continued success with your family, that's your boys and your husband and also your gymnast. And audience, as I always say, remember, it matters not what road we take, but rather what we become along the journey. Thank you for taking the journey along with me this evening here on Checking In with Joetta. And I look forward to having you back next week when we talk about how you can be the best you can be. Thank you.